I'm Kim, and I am currently a master's student with the Soil Science Department at NDSU. And my research is conducted on the effects of liquid soy manure on the sorption rates of 17 beta estradiol to soil. So to give you a little bit of background, 17 beta estradiol is a nonpolar compound, and it's also one of the more potent endocrine disrupting chemicals found in the environment. It does occur naturally in the environment at parts per trillion levels, but when these levels are elevated, they have been shown to have adverse reactions to surrounding wildlife. Previous research has supported an association between sewage and elevated E2 concentrations, which is your 17 beta estradiol. And also, the same research has also linked this introduction of higher estradiol levels into the soil environment with agricultural anthropogenic processes. Some of an example of anthropogenic processes would be the storage of livestock manure in retaining ponds called lagoons. And how it's introduced to the environment is it's a process called land application, where the manure is used as a fertilizer for the soil and forcibly injected into the upper horizon of the soil. So this is an example of those retaining ponds. This is a lagoon of livestock poo. And this is an example of field injection, which is the manure is stored in that tank and then forcibly injected or tilled into the upper horizon of the soil. So the current theory as of right now is that estradiol binds with colloidal organic carbon and dissolved organic carbon fractions, in which case it is then rendered unavailable for biodegradation and is unavailable for sorption to solid phases or within the environment. And although lab studies have shown that E2 binds to soil and degrades rapidly within a span of 8 hours, field studies have shown that estradiol levels to be elevated in the environment up to 300 days after application. So this research then suggests that the colloidal organic carbon or dissolved organic carbon present within the manure might facilitate the mobility and persistence of 17 beta estradiol. So colloidal organic carbon and dissolved organic carbon are just two organic carbon fractions that comprise of that make up total organic carbon, which is essentially highly dissolved organic matter. And both can be found in both soil and aqueous solutions. There's no distinct size difference between these two fractions because it's a continuous transitioning phase between particulate to colloidal to dissolved. So the main difference between these two organic carbon fractions is that colloidal organic carbon is believed to be suspended within solution, whereas your dissolved organic carbon is more likely to be absorbed to the solid phase, to a solid phase. So this is just an example of multiple different authors and how they have tried to put a definition on the size difference between the two organic carbon fractions, and as you can see, everybody has their own definition. So the whole point to my study was to determine if colloidal organic carbon or dissolved organic carbon from lagoon pig manure affects the sorption and potential mobility of 17 beta estradiol within the soil environment. So how I went about conducting this experiment is I did a series of batch experiments, two, one that consisted of a 0.01 molar calcium chloride solution, and the other comprised of a swine liquor that had been filtered through a 0.45 micron filter. There was four concentrations of C14 labeled estradiol, ranging from 0.01 to 0.7 microcuries per vial. Each one of these concentrations was then done in replicate, and the vials were 10 milliliters, but they used 1.6, sorry, that should be milligrams of soil and 6 milliliters of whichever aqueous solution that was used within the batch experiment. They were then rotated for a duration of 14 days, and at seven different time points, 100 microliter aliquot was removed for LSC analysis, and 100 microliter, 150 microliter aliquot was removed for TLC analysis. All of these vials were sterilized using irradiation. And there's two soils used in these batch experiments, one from the A horizon and one from the B horizon from a Garborg soil. And I just want to point out that there is a difference in organic matter content within these two horizons, and both of which contained less than 1% of clay. So this is a picture of the rotating drum used within the batch studies portion of my experiment. And this is a picture of the Beckman liquid scintillation counter used for LSC analysis. The TLC analysis consisted of the 150 microliter aliquot that was removed at those seven time points. They were evaporated to dryness and then reconstituted using 200 microliters of ethyl acetate, which then they were blown down using nitrogen gas to volume and then were spotted onto TLC plates and then analyzed. The fourth portion of my experiment will include ultrafiltration using Amicon stirred cells and a 1 kilodalton filter. And the idea behind this is that we will be able to separate the dissolved organic carbon fraction from the colloidal organic carbon fraction, hopefully get a better idea of which fraction the E2 is sorbing to. So the results I'm going to show is first the LSC analysis and then the TLC analysis. And essentially the LSC analysis was used to show the sorption to the solid phase over time. And my experiment showed that the lagoon batch showed less sorption to solid phase and more of a persistence within the supernatant of this batch experiment. And this can be seen here. What it is this is a fractional recovery of C14 found within the supernatant for those 100 microliter aliquots. And it's decreasing over time because research has stated that over time, E2 will eventually sorb more with the solid phase. But as you can see here, in the lagoon solution, the C14 has more of a higher concentration of the C14 present within the supernatant, indicating that it's probably sorbing more with the colloidal organic carbon fractions found within the lagoon than in the calcium chloride. And this is, again, the same, but for the high dose for the batch experiment. And again, you can see that there's more of a recovery of the C14 found in the supernatant for the lagoon over a period of 14 days in comparison to the calcium chloride. So next, I'll be showing you the TLC analysis. And the idea behind this is to get an idea of the fractional recovery of the estradiol and estrone found within the supernatant. And as of right now, I only have 4 time points for the calcium chloride batch, but you can see that estrone, which is E2's metabolite once it converts down, persists or dominates more so over the estradiol concentrations found in the supernatant. And this is to be expected in relation to research because people have stated that even in sterilized conditions, estradiol has been shown to convert to estrone. Whereas in contrast, in the lagoon batch, you can see here that estradiol is persisting more in the parent form in the supernatant and is less likely to convert over to estrone, its metabolite. So essentially, the conclusions as of thus far that we've been able to make is that the suspended colloidal organic carbon fraction within the lagoon batch could possibly be sorbing to the estradiol and making it unavailable for conversion, biodegradation into its metabolite, estrone, and is making it unavailable for further sorption to the solid phase within the batch experiments. Something else, though, that I want to point out is that the differing levels of organic matter could possibly also be affecting the sorption rates of estradiol to the solid phase. So in the future, what I plan on doing is continuing with the TLC analysis for the calcium chloride batch and performing ultrafiltration and soil combustion. And hopefully all of these things will assist in the identification of which organic carbon fraction is more likely to associate with 17-beta estradiol. So I know that was really quick. Any questions?
Questions? Yes.
I'm curious as to how you physically separate the C14
Actually, I haven't done that portion of my experiment yet, but we plan on using ultrafiltration. It's a method that was used in a Holbrook study, which is very similar to my study, except instead of using lagoon waste, he's using municipal waste, sewage waste. And what he did was he used an Amicon Sturge cell and used a 1 kilodalton filter, and that's his size definition for his cutoff point for where COC is more likely to be trapped by that filter, allowing the DOC to filter through. And according to their research, that should suffice in separating the two out. Anyone else?
Cool. I'd like to ask, how did you choose your solid to solution ratio? You were using 1.6 milligrams of soil material and...
1.6, or 6 mils of the...
Yeah.
I was using the vial makeup from that was used in other batch studies conducted by Casey, Dr. Casey, and all of his experiments, and a couple experiments performed by Dr. Hawk.
So you chose that to be consistent with previous studies?
Yeah, batch studies, yeah.
Okay. Any other questions?
And what was the equilibration time? I mean, what time it required to get the equilibration? Are you studying sorption? So, I mean, how long it took to, I mean, it's not increasing after that? Not clear?
Yeah, I think what he's asking is, do you think you reached equilibrium? Your absorption curves looked like they were continuing to trend down.
Mm-hmm.
The amount remaining in solution continued to trend down over time. Do you think that you reached equilibrium in that period of time?
Well, for the calcium chloride batch, I think it reached equilibrium after 8 hours, because after that the sorption rates were pretty much consistent. But with the lagoon batch, it continued to decrease over the duration of 14 days, so I don't think I ever reached an absolute equilibrium in the lagoon batch in relation to the calcium chloride. So.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.